Oh, hey, it's the Great Debates.
Hey,
whose voice is that?
Did you hear that?
What?
I'm who's back, that? Baby.
Dave?
You can't hold me down.
You're back. God.
This is so weird.
Where
almost.
You been, bud?
I've been around, but I've been busy, and I'm sorry. Because you know I love to be here in the studio.
Yeah,
and
of course.
It's good to see your smiling faces and hear your beautiful voices. We got a guest here, too.
Guys, we've got a great guest. It's an embarrassment of riches here.
It really is.
In human capital terms. Colin Jost is here.
Hi.
Colin, welcome to the Great Debates Studios, man.
It's a true honor to be here. I'm so happy to be here.
Are you
kidding?
We're honored to have you as our guest.
No. Honor's completely on the side of you.
Should we keep going?
Is that the honor all around. Let's get everyone's to some friggin' debates.
Exactly.
Guys, this is fun.
You're from Staten Island.
Hey, we don't
debates over here.
Pizza.
I'm debating over here.
Staten Island, by the way, great place.
I want to get right into it. I've got a really hot debate topic submitted by listener and host Steve Healy.
Oh, I got one in.
Healy told me earlier that when he listens to the Great Debates, he listens to it at 2.0 speed.
No, 1.5 speed.
Oh, 1.5 speed. Okay.
Seems about right.
That's a great pro tip.
And then he said,
for our
you
listeners.
Have to. You have to.
Yeah.
To,
if you listen it, whatever. Yes, do it. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I've got a top. Healy's going to take the pro.
No, I'm taking the pro.
I'm sorry. I've got a top. Davis is going to take the pro. Jost is going to take the con.
Love it.
Are you guys ready? I've got 4 minutes on the clock. It's a micro debate. The topic is, if you could do all of your going to the bathroom for a month in one day and, quote, get it over with, that would be a good option.
It would be a fantastic option. You know, one of the biggest problems that people have with productivity is they don't know how to multitask, or rather people try to multitask. And what people don't understand is that the best way to actually get things done is to complete one task and then move on to the other. The way that you slow down is by completing 20% of task A and then moving on to task B and completing 20% of that task and then moving on to task C and doing half of that, etc. If you are able to put the time into task A and complete it, then move on to task B, your life will be that much more efficient. And that's the main reason why going to the bathroom all in one day is a great option. Jost.
Multitasking is a myth. Multitasking is a fraud. And I honestly, I'm upset to even have to face this in person with you. The idea of multitasking is, oh, let's save all this time. For what? What we need in our lives is some sense of rhythm, some sense of routine. What routine gives us is both structure, but also familiarity with our lives, a pleasantness to our lives. When you go to the bathroom every day, there's some enjoyment, not only a physical pleasure, which is observed scientifically as a physical pleasure when you go to the bathroom. It's also a time to yourself.
Weird to mention that.
You can certainly now do things on your phone if you should you need to multitask, but it's a time alone to yourself to enjoy it, and it defines our day in a way that a lot of things don't.
What you misunderstood my whole argument. I didn't say that people should try to multitask. Actually, what I said was people try to multitask and they end up being less efficient because of that. What you are too nearsighted to see is that if you open up the one-day bathroom option, you will then develop a whole new routine, which is bathroom day. And that is a wonderful day where you get to bring in a few books into the bathroom. You bring in some meals that maybe are somehow bathroom appropriate. It's a good bathroom day book. Exactly. We already have bathroom books. We know what those are. They're fun. They're lighthearted.
Right.
So maybe the second Monday or the third Sunday of every month is your bathroom day. You go into the bathroom. You hunker down for 16 hours, whatever it is. You get that out of the way. And what you've done is you've freed up an incredible amount of time. By the way, if you add up all of the time that you spend in the bathroom in the rest of the month, you'll find that it's actually probably more than one day. And that's why it's actually saving time to do it all in one day, as opposed to throughout the month.
Take your bathroom day to the extreme, right? Let's say you're.
I'd love to take my bathroom day to the extreme.
Let's say you're a drinker.
Okay.
And you're like, well, let's get all the drinking out in one full day of drinking. In that day, you're going to make terrible decisions. You're probably going to cheat on a loved one. You're going to have a horrible experience physically, emotionally, versus if you had a drink each day and it was part of a wonderful routine in your life where you would go to a bar or you would go to a friend's house. You'd have one beer every day for a month. how much better your life would be with that routine and that experience than it would be having 28 to 31 beers.
Sure, I think there's a couple. I guess there's a couple of things about going to the bathroom that I need to educate you about. One of them is that going to the bathroom in excess does not create a toxic or it doesn't either uninhibit you or make
allegedly.
You a bad driver
allegedly.
Or anything like that. And the other thing is that going to the bathroom is not a social experience. You don't get to meet other people when
depends.
You go to the bathroom. There's nothing. Depends. Yes, the ritual of going to the bathroom. There is something to be said for spending, however long you spend when you wake up in the morning, and you know Kennedy and a lot of great thinkers and leaders had a very important and long bathroom time in the morning, but you can still have your private time. You're not taking away the amount of time that you can. No one's going to say, hey, just because you don't go to the bathroom anymore, you can't close the door and go into a little room and be quiet and collect your thoughts. Can we keep going for another minute
here?
Yeah,
throw another
It's not a communal experience necessarily, although there are fun communal experiences if you're a congressperson, if you're, you know, you have a cool other experience.
And
in the
it's a clever joke, but it doesn't really make a great point.
It does actually move the needle. It's a social experience. You are doing a thing that everyone else that day is doing, and it links you to humanity, which we've done for all of time.
It still does.
You
just
eat,
because you're doing
you have a little bit of coffee, as the caveman would. You have a bowel movement. You feel like a human.
Yes, and you'll still feel like you'll just feel like this different new Uber human, if I could be so bold.
Uber,
if you get
the greatest experience of life, is
Ubering. If you get to do it all in one day. It seems to be
nothing
like,
controversial.
By the way, my bottom line, and I guess my closing argument, if you will, or a new point, is that all I have to prove is that it's a good option. You don't have to do it, but God damn it, it's a great option. If you could have the choice.
You see ads for Seasonique.
Yeah.
Or whatever, the one where you just get one period 3 times a year.
I love where this is going. I feel very comfortable arguing this.
We both feel great
yes,
in this space.
Go ahead.
Speaking on behalf of all.
Yes.
No, I feel like the parody that was written by Tina and Paul at our show was, that's crazy. If you have one crazy period every 3 months or 4 months, that's insane. To me, it's the same thing of, why not just meet it out naturally the way the body, you know, requires it or asks for it, and there's something to that natural rhythm, and let's not force it all into one day.
Well, Jost, you're a great guest, and I love you, and I don't want to embarrass you too much.
Thank you so much.
But there's a reason that Seasonique was a parody, and the actual truth about menstruation is that if we actually could, and there are drugs out there that for some reason are being prohibited from the market, where women would have fewer periods, and the reality is that every time a woman menstruates, it's a mitotic event, which increases the risk of certain cancers, and in fact, women would be better off if they only menstruated
once a year.
It is arguable. That's what I'm doing. I've read the research on this, and everything that there was a great New Yorker article about the guy who invented, I believe it was in the New Yorker, about the guy who invented birth control, and he only made it.
The guy. Exactly. The guy who invented
birth control. It is unfortunate that it was a man, and I don't know what to tell you, but facts are facts. And again, the reality is that it would be healthier if women menstruated less frequently. Women today in their lifetime have about 300 to 400 menstrual cycles, whereas they used to only have about 100 or 50 to 100 because of ongoing pregnancy and because of malnutrition and other issues, and they had less frequency of certain cancers.
And how many periods does the guy have that invented birth control?
He didn't have any, and
right.
I can tell
right.
how far
right.
you've lost because right. of how far from the topic
right.
you've strayed.
I don't feel like I need to.
It's screwed up how much Dave knows about periods. You've always been an expert on periods. You
suspicious.
Know all the words.
I think it's
suspicious.
I think it's screwed up that you
suspicious.
Guys don't know more about periods. I think it's like,
I know.
I think it's, I don't think it's a women's health issue. I think it's a health issue.
Wow. That's really noble.
Medina, what'd you think of the debate?
And Colin, how far off the rails did we go?
We went a ways off.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that last 2 minutes was unnecessary. I granted an extra minute. I didn't put the timer. I wanted to be comfortable, but we should have had that timer.
Might have been my fault.
Colin, you did a great job, but I have to say, Davis, this is his first debate back in the chair after a
number
of weeks.
See, this seems already
absent,
loaded.
And he came in and he really pounded
that already here. Seems loaded to me.
And so I'm going to go ahead and give it to Dave.
Thank you.
I respect it.
Yeah.
That said, I vocally disagree.
How did I not hear more about the physical devastation both on your butthole and on the toilet.
I didn't mention how unnatural it
was. I'm doing a month's worth of bathroom in one day. Well,
the plumbing infrastructure would have to be completely redesigned. The modern world is not ready for
this
task.
That's not true. You're doing a month's worth of bathrooming in one day.
Yeah, but you're not doing it in 5 minutes.
Who knows?
You can flush your toilet 30 times a day. It's not.
If you lost a full day at a time to a bowel movement, you'd feel like, oh, I shouldn't be alive. That's insane.
The sewer system in most modern cities would have to be completely redesigned.
Well, you'd have to space them out. It would be like if everyone threw a piece of trash in the ocean at once.
Would you
the
get ocean the day off work?
It'd be like the gas lines if you have a
right. It would be a, it would be a sick day at work that was built in
first.
You guys have the economy. No idea how sewer
the economy
lines
would grind to a stand.
You scheduled your bathroom day for my sister's wedding.
Yeah, a lot of that.
When I first heard bathroom day, I thought, now that has a ring to it.
Yeah, it's a great. I mean, just the idea of it alone. I mean,
it's truly horrifying.
Why?
The idea of spending more than normal time in a bathroom.
No, it's less. It's less.
Think
than
about
normal
how
time.
Little, how much you have to face the idea of, oh, I'm going to spend some time in the bathroom, and let alone I have to spend more than a full day in a bathroom.
Would bathrooms be nicer or less nice?
Bathrooms would be so much nicer. I mean, it would be the nicest room in your house. It would be better than your bedroom.
It would be more comfortable than your bedroom.
I just go to a fancy hotel once a month.
I was
going to
say,
yeah.
I think there would be a boutique industry, yes, more than boutique.
You would have no bathroom in
think
your home.
Think about the excuses you'd have to have for an early on girlfriend.
It's
I got to go to Mexico
no
for like one, for like 24
it's
hours.
It's business one day.
Yeah, I got to go. I got to leave for a second. I'll be back in 24 hours.
You don't have to keep it a secret. Everyone understands bathroom day.
They don't like to understand.
The first time you had your bathroom day in a home, you're cohabitating with your new boyfriend, new girlfriend.
Oh, that would be rough. That's rough.
I guess you would go to the zoo or something while she was having bathroom day.
To get out. I thought you meant the person.
That'd
having
be a great day
day
for you to go to the zoo.
Yeah, you'd make.
Let's not bring.
Plans.
Let's not bring zoos down. Bathroom day
zoo membership would skyrocket.
Animals at least are sensible to do it every day. Meet it out.
Oh man, if they were like it's monkey bathroom day at the zoo today.
I would actually see. I would pay
elephant
to see that.
Bathroom day?
I would pay to see elephant bathroom
day. Cost $100.
Wonderful. That's too much.
Oh, guys, are we in host chat?
Yeah, we're deep in host chat.
I once saw an elephant take a piss in India, and man, it was so
like a
much
fire
piss.
Hose, right?
Yeah, that's cool.
Just down
good
the
dick
road.
Or just great piss? Whoa,
I mean, it was a big elephant dick. Yeah.
Elephant, or you're saying against any animal? Relative.
You know, I remember the sheer volume of liquid that then ran down the street.
Yeah.
Like it was like it just rained
it
in this
ran.
One spot. Yeah.
You know that crazy thing about how like all mammals, it takes about the same amount of time for all mammals to pee? Have you
is
read
that true?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So there's some scientists who studied like just urination. And like basically if a
mom, I got my grant.
Because of like the fluid dynamics of
I'm gonna be timing every animal's peeing.
You know, and you can make fun of this person, but I think it's fascinating.
They're a great scientific hero.
But basically I think it's around 25 seconds is a full pee for like almost all mammals.
Hey, by the way, you know what this proves is the importance of spacing out bowel movements versus it being one day. Imagine your pee was, you knew it was going to be a full, 10 hours straight.
But then you get, that sounds kind of fun.
Well, you laugh a little bit after 2 minutes and then you cry.
It becomes an endurance test.
Can you imagine a sort of MacGyver?
It's hands on a hard body. No one wants to do that every month.
For the rest of the month. You could take a bath.
Is there someone, is there a listener out there who wants to do the math for us and like how much time?
I love how bad our math is.
How much?
It's somewhere between the day or?
Well, I mean, we don't have time here, but someone out there who wants to really hit the books and send us how much time during that bathroom day are we performing each
other? I'll do one better. The person who sends in the best seems like it's the most reasoned answer will get a free Great Debates t-shirt.
Fantastic. Well,
I would say if you do it If you do it while on the toilet and do the math then, I feel like there's an extra, but it will send you, and you send a photo.
I'll also, if you come up with a good little plausible MacGyver-style episode where Dave would have saved the day by knowing that it takes the average mammal 25 seconds to pee, I'll also send you a free t-shirt.
That's actually great. MacGyver, I think, got picked up for another season. So
we'll pitch it to, if you send it to us, we will go to whatever
physically pitch it.
And that produces MacGyver, we will pitch that to MacGyver, and we will get escorted by security.
Guys, it's March Madness.
That was almost, I would say, what you'd call a seamless transition.
Yeah, seamless. We're sponsored this week by Seamless because they love our transition so much. This is this week's seamless transition.
Seamful transition. Brought to you by Seamless.
So, well, I'm gonna on Saturday. Today is Thursday or Wednesday if you're listening on Sirius Satellite XM. There's going to be some basketball games.
Right.
Medina, do you know anything about these teams?
I know nothing about the teams that are playing this weekend.
Okay, I'm going to lay on some matchups, and we're going to get your vibe predictions.
Late bracket entry.
Four vibe bracket.
This is similar to the movies he hasn't seen when he gives us his vibes for Oscar week.
Mm-hmm. So, South Carolina, Gamecocks?
Yeah.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. They were the 7 seed in their region.
Mm-hmm. South region? East region, right?
They're going to play Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Gonzaga Bulldogs, number 1 seed in their region.
I'm choosing Gonzaga.
And what's your vibe here? What's your vibe?
First of all, I've been not necessarily watching the March Madness NCAA tournament for 40 years or whatever, but I've been around it. I know about it. I know the name Gonzaga. It's always there. They're always in the tournament.
Yeah.
I think they won once, and it was a big upset.
They didn't, but that's okay.
They've never won?
Maybe it was their first Final Four, but they've had some big wins.
Okay, great. They've had some like Cinderella stuff and some heartbreak. Is that true?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm taking Gonzaga.
Can I just a follow-up question is, when you say I've been around it,
I mean, like it's been on television in the background.
You've been near television.
I've been in America March for most of my life.
Sure, at times.
Okay, and then the North Carolina Tar Heels are going to play the Oregon Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say Mighty Ducks, but I'm pretty sure
it's just the Ducks. The Oregon Trail Mighty Ducks.
And Oregon, Oregon, first time they've been in the Final Four since they won the tournament in 1939, the first ever tournament they won.
1939. Seabiscuit.
The Ducks are a 3 seed.
And we're famously sympathetic to the Nazis, I think. I don't know if I'm.
So keep that in mind.
Sure.
Tell us your vibe.
I don't want to research it.
That's not the kind of thing you want to be sure about.
They may have been sympathetic to the Nazis, but
we don't know.
I'm sure North Carolina in 1939 was very politically forward.
Yeah, as they still are today. Famously with that. I didn't know the bathrooms were I went to a restaurant tonight that was it was gender neutral, but I didn't know that the gender neutral symbol was half skirt.
Yeah, that's,
have you seen that?
That is one of the popular gender neutral signs.
It was interesting.
It seems to be the leader in the clubhouse, but I think it's still like open for competition.
There was also a separate, not bathroom related sign that was no smoking, classic no smoking sign next to a wheelchair sign that seemed like almost a threat. Like, don't do it, or we'll put you in a wheelchair. To me,
if you wanted to like really hit home about the issues of like a little PSA for pro transgender bathrooms in schools, I realize we're way far from where we need to be. It's a trans kid, and it's their bathroom day.
This actually could all link back to
powerful.
A great message.
Mom,
all right, sorry. Powerful message.
Mom, where do I go for
it's
bathroom
day?
Yeah.
Okay, so Dan, North Carolina against Oregon.
No, that really would hit
that
home.
Said, not to load the question even more, but North Carolina.
I feel like the vibe is North Carolina, but there's something in my gut tugging at me for Oregon here.
What
because
is that?
It's just, this is the kind of thing that the NCAA tournament is famous for, is like these great stories the first timers club and the heart and this is what sports was all about. I feel like maybe it's Oregon.
Do you feel like because you're, do you at all, I know you grew up very far from the Oregon border.
My stepbrother went to Oregon.
Okay.
Went to University of Oregon.
Okay, so there's a little bit of that going on.
He was a wrestler there.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, a wrestling duck.
Do you want to pick
Oregon? I think he redshirted on football, but maybe he didn't quite make.
Do you want to go ahead and vibe out Oregon Gonzaga?
So you've got Pacific Oregon Gonzaga in the final. So all West final.
Or all Northwest final, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big one.
I don't even know where Gonzaga is.
They're up in, I think, Spokane, Washington, right? Is that right?
I think they are Washington.
Or somewhere in... Yeah. Producer Mark is looking it up. He's raising one finger.
Then maybe I take Gonzaga.
I was
going to
go ahead
finals.
And guess California, but I'm sure.
No,
I'm wrong.
They're up in Washington. Spokane. Yeah.
Then I think I take. I think I take Gonzaga. In the
Based
finals.
On their location, you're going with Gonzaga.
It's just more about the name. I think it's got the best name of any basketball team.
It's usually who wins.
Spokane.
Oh, maybe Spokane.
I think it's Spokane, but I don't know.
Really?
Guys,
do we have an exact address?
It's Spokane.
I kind of feel like we're some kids in a and we're in the camp dorm room under covers with the flashlights because we just had a long bathroom talk, humor debate,
right?
And now we're going to turn to sex.
Oh my goodness!
Wow, I've got a this topic. Is wonderful.
I've got 4 minutes on the clock.
Primal Urges Week on debate.
It's just boys' humor week.
I honestly, bathroom stuff is near and dear to my. I feel like I've had a lot of both close calls and missed calls that.
Okay,
you want to elaborate?
To share. We don't need to debate if you want to talk about your missed calls.
No, I'd be happy to hear. I don't want to get into it. I'm just saying, theoretically. That's what one could say.
When you're getting ready for, you're on SNL, you're on Weekend Update, what is like...
How close have I been?
Well, no, like, do you have a... I have to go to the bathroom at this time?
No. I think I probably end up having some routine to it, again, in a great way that defines humanity versus a bathroom day. But yes, I think I do have a routine, but it's pretty far in advance.
Have you, to ask Dan's question, what's the closest you've ever been? Has the light ever gone on? You were like, oh boy, I made a mistake.
Yes. For
really?
Sure.
And then you just
both
have
as
to...
A certainly as a stand-up,
okay.
It's happened. And at SNL, it's certainly happened where you're like, oh, this is not ideal timing.
Do you think that... which way does that affect your performance?
I don't... I'd have to look back.
Do you think you read faster?
To just sort of get to the end of the rainbow sort of thing?
Yeah, is it feeling like...
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I think a little bit you're like, all right, let's get through it. Let's soldier through.
Mm-hmm. Man, if I were in your shoes, come Saturday, as soon as I wake up, I'm taking one Imodium on the hour every hour until it's
you
live
taught
from
me,
New York.
You introduced the idea of Imodium to me.
Well,
do you know that as an actual person? I never
I'm
even
proud,
heard of it.
I'm proud.
I was like, I'm going to just eat a bunch of lobster and ribs. You're like, no. Are you not even eating Imodium?
You got to have
it. I was like, what's that? And you're like, well, this is the life. This is how you live.
Wow, to maybe Imodium should sponsor us.
Oh, that's
great. The
thing
that people don't realize is that you could take it preventively. That's what
that's fascinating.
People
and
wait
then,
until you have. They make the mistake of waiting until
it doesn't
it goes
mess
out.
You up if you take it preventively.
That's not great. I mean, you know, right. it's gonna. Whatever. What are we talking? What's going on? Guys?
I think we're actually. This is the most informative it can be.
Probably.
We're that's changing. True. Maybe perhaps. I don't want to say a generation, but it.
Honestly, maybe this show should just be us recommending different medicines. I don't know. Should we have a debate? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd like to have the last debate.
I'm sorry.
Here's the thing. I'm gonna time this one because it got way out of hand last time.
Yeah.
Okay. 4 minutes on the clock. Healy taking the pro. The topic is lots of women want to have sex with Donald Trump.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. This is not a very life-affirming top. I usually like to take the life-affirming side of an issue, and I don't think this is life-affirming to think about. Donald Trump is physically quite gross. He's mean and rude to women. In a famous tape, he's recorded talking about how he moved on a woman like a bitch, he says, and she rejected him. So we know that like he does strike out a lot. But okay. The guy is really rich, and maybe he's the president of the United States, and he's a famous celebrity. Lots. That's what this debate is going to come down to. 200 lots? I'd say yes. Any kind of sexual weirdness or depravity, you can find some people who are down. And to have sex with the president, no matter how waxy, crude, repulsive he may seem to us, I think you will find 200 to 300 women without any trouble that are down, and men probably for that matter, but I think we're just talking about women. So that counts as lots. So I say, though it is not life-affirming to think about, it is a true fact that lots of women want to have sex with Donald Trump.
I think if you're saying, if you're defining this as lots of women want to have sex with him, and that's 300 or 400 women, no one would buy that that's accurate to lots of women relative to the population of the United States, let alone the world. The fact of the matter is, I don't think most women have any sexual attraction to Donald Trump. And I'm not, by the way, I'm not saying this as a to burn Donald Trump. I'm not trying to take down Donald Trump because I don't want to take down America with it. That said, I think he's not an appealing figure to women. And I think women, unlike women who even voted for him at the polls, women to have sex with him or have an, especially in a relationship now that he's president, that could be exposed as they slept with him, would be horrified. Other women would be horrified to learn of that. So there's a huge social stigma to going through with that. They would not do that. And also, I think the other point is Donald Trump, not a sexual person, talks about it. Think about your friends that talk about sex, like, oh, I'm going to do this, all the sex all the time. They're not actually sexually active people. They talk about it. I think Donald Trump is a person that talks about sex, but does not actively have sex a lot, and actually is scared, is a germaphobe, doesn't have sex, and therefore would not actually be open to that many women having sex with him. So, and I think women read that, and women are smart enough to know this person is not actually going to be an interesting or valuable sexual partner, and therefore would not even pursue him.
Okay, you made a fairly lucid little speech, but none of the arguments in it were at all relevant or meaningful to this debate.
Interesting.
First of all, how many, whether or not the women want to go through with it, doesn't matter. Moot point. Some, if they want to, they want to. Doesn't matter whether it's actually going to come to pass.
Isn't the question want to?
The, you know, you can want to, but not if it really came down to it, you would back off. That's fine. I mean, that counts as wanting to. Now, the germaphobe issue.
But you just said not.
Okay. I actually think the germaphobe issue is kind of interesting because I think knowing that, there might even be some women who like want to have sex with Donald Trump in the sense of like they would like to punish him, dominate him, do some weird stuff, have a sexual game with him that is humiliating or upsetting or bad for him. They are into having sex with Donald Trump as an act of aggression or twisted up emotion that they have towards Donald Trump. I think that's going to account for another 200 to 300 women.
I think that's an extreme and unjustifiable minority. I think that there's not that. I don't think those women that would do that would not do it because of the larger social implications of that choice.
Medina, what did you think?
Mm. Wow. Mm. We know a lot about women, I'll tell you that
much. That's kind of what I kept thinking.
Yeah.
Is that no one knows what they're talking about here.
Mm. I don't think a lot of women want to. I think almost none do.
I have to think that there's like that. A lot of women voted for Donald Trump. I have to think that there are women in his age group who voted for him who are like, you know what, that's my kind of guy. Turned on by the lifestyle and maybe even the size and the stature and maybe there's something for everyone the out there, right? The width, the bouffant, you know? So
the type
I tend to think there's, by the definition that you seem to establish, Healy, which is like a couple hundred people.
But yeah. I would describe that as not lots.
That's not a lot.
A lot. He defined it as 300 or 400. I mean, that's so few in the scheme of the world.
Right.
You guys lots? Are out of your mind. There's millions of women who want to have sex with Donald Trump.
What?
Totally true.
Well, yes. In the way they would with any celebrity, they would want to. But there's but I think that's less than a normal celebrity because there's it's so much more public. That there would be a fear of that. Mm.
I don't. You guys are in a bubble, man.
Hey, again, I'm arguing against three. Crazy. Of course, there's a baseline that would, but I'm saying not a lot. Certainly, a huge minority. It's not. It's not near 50% of women.
If we're talking about 200,
well, but what about he defined that. But I think I that's completely a bad a definition. Mistake.
What about men?
I don't know. But here's what I'll say.
You're very confident about women.
Well, I
think very few women physically are attracted to him. I think that's true. Oh my God. In the way that they're very few are physically attracted to Mitt Romney or Mitt Joe Biden.
Biden, are you crazy?
I mean, more so. Yeah. But I'm just saying, how many women are idealizing, let's get with a 72-year-old man?
They're not thinking about 70. He's only 70, I think. They're
71.
They're not thinking like, oh, this guy's old. We're going over here
but,
in time.
But of course, there's so many that would. But I think it's actually way less proportionate to who. Think about it proportionate to Obama. Listen, or proportionate to I think to McCain.
I think thinking is overrated or something. Yeah. Why do we do this to ourselves?
But you think your decision is that you think lots of women do want he convinced
yes,
you.
Yes, but no, I'm not. Healy did not convince me. My decision is that neither of you know what you're talking about because you're white men in a liberal bubble.
But that's we can't choose. We can't change that.
If anything, I feel like I won. With
that being said, I think kind of King won.
That's what I'm hearing.
I sort of had
the same feeling that like there's women out there that he's exactly the right guy for, and there's a lot of them.
You guys think he's massive? In your minds, he's massively unpopular. He has like a 35% approval rating.
No,
that
means
100 million people.
I don't deny that.
Women. That means about 30 million women, ages like 30 to 90. Well,
but that's what I mean when he says 300 to 400.
Yeah, I think that's crazy.
I agree. I think there's at least 10 million women right now who are like, let's do this.
Yes.
That said, I think that's a lot, but I also think you're talking about the president. I think that's probably the lowest number for a president in a long time.
Okay.
So if you're going to say lots, I mean, lots of people want to have sex with Jared from Subway. Still, now, that have an interest in that.
This took a
turn. That's not necessarily indicative of that's what women want.
Right. You're saying relative to other Subway spokesmen like Ryan Howard and like Russell Westbrook.
Correct. What else do we have?
I'm with you. That's
what
fair.
Else do we have as metrics?
Yeah.
I think way more women would like to have sex with George W. Bush now than Donald Trump.
I feel like that's a guy on the subway, like looking around, waiting for the train as a crazy person talks to him.
You co-created this train.
I know. It was a big mistake.
What is making you most uncomfortable right now?
I don't like thinking about Donald Trump being sexual. I don't like four guys speculating on what women find desirable.
I feel like strongly that Donald Trump is an asexual person.
I absolutely agree with that. Yeah, I think he doesn't like having sex. Yes. He's gross. I mean,
What friend do you have that has sex a lot and constantly talks about, oh, I'm going to have sex with all these women in a weird way. Like a way, again, you've never heard another guy talk about, I'm going to grab them. But you never hear that from friends that actually have human relationships with women.
I think he likes it as a power sickness, but
I don't disagree, he might want to watch people in the way that Russian video is. It's not, I don't think he's that actually Russian a sexual video. Person.
What do you know?
Yeah, what do you know?
I got some info. NBC News.
You can speak a bit of Russian, right?
Da.
Have you? Does that give you any insight into what's going on here?
Da.
Are you an agent?
Minyoga.
Could you be an agent? That would be so insidious if they got one of their guys to be on the Weekend Update.
I would be honored by the Homeland to serve in that.
Oh no.
Possible Russian agent Colin Jost.
Yeah, happily. The idea of being introduced as possible Russian agent is very exciting.
I don't think that the KGB would trust this guy who's out there shitting his pants all the time.
That could be cut out.
That could be cut out. Yeah. You never know.
We'll get with the coaches and they'll talk that over.
Look, I don't know what you're doing. Whatever. Oh, sorry. We got to wrap this up.
Guys, it was so great this week.
Sorry. Did we figure some things out? I feel.
Yeah, I think we learned a little bit about ourselves.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Tastes, about our bathroom habits, and maybe about how we feel about Donald Trump in the bedroom. Colin, it was so great to have you here, man.
I'm very happy you had me. I hope it was okay.
You did great. You're fantastic. Kidding?
Okay. All right. I just worry about...
Fantastic.
No one leaves this arena happy.
Yeah. There's a feeling called debater's remorse.
It's a shameful experience.
Well, you can always do better.
Whoa.
Wow.
No, I'm just trying to put a positive spin on your whatever.
Davis.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Great Debate.
Hey, sorry, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, man. I appreciate that.
I know it's my first time, but I feel like I should say welcome back.
It means a lot. I feel home here.
We've all missed you. Guys.
Steve, you got one more yawn in?
We miss you, bud.
What?
We miss you.
Oh, man.
Guys, I really enjoy this episode. I'd love to hear from you. So would the guys. I'm sure Colin would as well. Write to us at greatdebate69@gmail.com. Tweet at us. We're greatdebate69 on Twitter. And let us know what you thought of this episode. And let Dave know that you're glad he's back. All right, guys. Yeah. We'll see you next week. The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.